Old friend will be back in town tomorrow night doing some sidelines for Portland Timbers Television. Longtime friend of the program. Good to have Nat Borchers back here with us in Salt Lake City. How are you?
What's going on, Bill? How you doing, man?
Life's good. How about you? How are things in Oregon?
Everything's good. We have gotten past the wildfires for the moment. We had some crazy weather and wildfires going on here. We had an eclipse that happened a little while ago as well, which brought a lot of attention to this part of the country. And we're actually enjoying this fall weather, finally. So life is good.
Yeah, fall weather has hit this morning. Temperatures now in the 60s, which is awesome. We got some rain. I'm just amazed when I saw the footage of the wildfires this summer. That is like the greenest state you will ever visit. I'm surprised anything ever gets dry enough to burn up there, Nat.
Yeah, and people think it rains all the time here in Oregon, but there's some really dry parts of the state. And unfortunately, there were some kids that were lighting up fireworks this summer and really started this wildfire that has been, you know, going through, you know, a lot of the forest areas. And we haven't got much moisture this summer. So it's really compounded a lot of things here with that. So hoping that, our forestry people and our firemen are staying safe out there.
Well, how's the real estate business? For those that don't know, now that he's not playing soccer on a full-time basis and when he's not filming episodes of Game of Thrones, he is a real estate or a budding real estate mogul. How's the real estate biz?
Things are great. I'm buying more properties here in Oregon, and unfortunately, I've been selling some properties in Salt Lake that I bought when I was living there. It's tough because emotionally I'm still tied to Salt Lake. I loved living there, loved owning real estate there, but you know, the time's come where I got to start making some moves. So it's kind of a sad time for me to be doing that.
The moves he is making are big. And I, by the way, I feel you, but I've always said, and I've been going up there for a number of years, as of you live there now. If I were to ever leave Salt Lake City, and that's never been my plan, I'm here 16 years, but Portland and Oregon, especially the Portland area where you live, is definitely an area where I could see myself.
Well, I mean, they say this is, they say Portland is a weird place, Bill, so I think you'd fit in perfectly here. You're weird, Portland's weird, you know, it's nice and, you know, fun town to be in. You're a fun guy, right?
Yeah, I try to be. Nat Borchers with us here on the Bill Riley Show. You and I had lunch several months ago when the season was about to fire up, when I was up there doing some basketball stuff with Utah basketball. We had lunch one afternoon, and it was great to see you. And I was asking you about the Timbers, and you said, I think they're going to be really good this year. I said, really? I said, why? He goes, they've added some good players. You're right. Is this about what you thought they'd be?
You know, I actually had higher expectations for this team. You know, they started out really, really hot. They won the first three games. Two were at home, one on the road. And the team hadn't won a road game at all last year. So, you know, expectations were high. I think this team has one of the best front fours attacking group in the league. You've got Fernando Adi up top running the number nine. Sebastian Blanco, Darlington Nagbe on the wings. Then you got this guy named Diego Valeri, who's just been absolutely killing it this year. So I think expectations were that, you know, this team was going to really, you know, far outweigh everybody else in the Western Conference. And, you know, it's tough because, we've had some injuries. The back lines, you know, had their struggles in terms of getting consistent lineups. But right now I think they're in a good spot. You know, we see the game against New York last week, probably the first time I've seen this Portland Timbers team able to really stay consistent both defensively and offensively throughout an entire 90 minutes. And I think it really bodes well, you know, moving forward towards the playoffs.
You played with Javier Morales. You played with Diego Valeri for a couple of seasons. Are they very similar in their roles and the way they play with their teams?
Yes, they are. They're both being tasked obviously with, you know, creating chances, scoring goals, you know, giving assists, you know, really just being the playmaker. And there's a lot of pressure that goes, you know, with that. And you're a marked man when you're the playmaker. And both of those guys had this incredible ability to see that final pass. You know, that first touch they had was just amazing. And they also had this, like, explosiveness, this ability to just get past somebody and get a shot off or get past somebody and make that final pass. And so I feel so happy and so fortunate to be able to play with two guys who are one of the bestest, you know, playmakers this league has ever seen.
Is anybody in the West good enough, Nat, to beat somebody in the East? And I know soccer's really a one-off when you're playing that championship match, but is there anybody in the West that you think, and you've seen everybody, and your current squad that you're broadcasting with and working with, the Timbers are at the top of the table, but Vancouver and Portland would be in fourth place if they played in the East right now. Toronto's been unbelievable again this year. NYCFC's been good. Chicago's tailed off a bit. They had a good start to the season. Is anybody in the West in the same class as Toronto or New York right now?
Well, you have to talk about Toronto, Bill, right? Because they're having a historical season. You know, they've just been able to score goals upon goals upon goals. They've got this guy Sebastian Giovinco, who's bagging goals left and right, creating goals. Josie Altidore, you got Michael Bradley holding down things in the midfield. This guy named Victor Vasquez, who kind of came out of nowhere. And he's been able to create. And they play this formation that is unique in Major League Soccer, pretty much just to Toronto. It's a five-back system or a five-man midfield, whichever way you want to look at it. And it's really creating problems for teams to defend because they just don't know how to deal with the numbers sometimes when it comes to attacking or defending against Toronto. So they've done a fantastic job. They're going to be the team to beat, obviously, in the playoffs, I think. And then you look at New York and you say, hey, you know, David Villa is having a banner year. They seem to be able to figure things out in terms of their possession game and their defending. So they're a team to watch for sure. But I think, absolutely there are teams in the West that can handle Toronto, and that can, you know, handle the likes of New York. And I think that a lot's been made about the Western Conference, Eastern Conference, you know, the shift. The Eastern Conference now is, you know, quote unquote, better than the Western Conference. I think there's more goals in the Eastern Conference, but I think still you got some good teams in the West. I think, you know, Seattle. You know, you look at the Portland Timbers. You look at the likes of an upstart team, a team who's, you know, maybe on the outside looking in, like a Real Salt Lake, making a run and being able to be that team as well. So I think that there are teams that will be able to compete. And like you said, it's a one-off game. The MLS Cup is just a one-off game. So you all only have to show up for that one game once you've gotten there, and hey, you win yourself MLS Cup. So always opportunities.
I want to get your thoughts on RSL in a minute. Nat Borchers, old friend of the program, current Timbers broadcaster with us here on the Bill Riley Show. You were mentioning some players, Giovinco, David Villa, some others. You've been around the league, what, about 15 years now, player, and now in some capacity been around major leagues. Is it about 15 years?
Yeah, about that time, yep.
So in your time, who's been the best international player to come into this league? Who's been the best, you know, whether he was a name or not a name? Because there's a number of guys you could go around, and I'm just wondering, and I mentioned that because of the two guys you mentioned, I think both Giovinco and David Villa have to be on that list. But in your time of playing and being around, just the 15 years, who do you think the best international has been in Major League Soccer?
Well, the international player is just so tough to get right sometimes because you want that player. Generally, that player is going to be an attacking player, a creative player, an impact player, and you want that player to be able to show up on the stats, you know, and the assists and the goals columns. And you're paying that player quite a bit more probably than you're paying a lot of the guys in the team. So that player has to be an impact player. And for me, some of the biggest impact players I've seen come through this league, you know, in my time, I think you start with Robbie Keane. And when I think about impact, you know, I have to think about championships, and that's, you know, that's what Robbie Keane did for the LA Galaxy. I think he won three championships when he was with that team, and he epitomized what an impact player is. You know, he was a leader, he was a goal creator, he was a goal scorer, and he was a champion. He had that mentality. Whenever we matched up against the LA Galaxy, we would always say, Where's Robbie Keane going to be, and how do we limit his touches on the ball? And that was our goal defensively for that game. And I think that he was an impact player. And I think, you know, the jury's still out in terms of David Villa and Sebastian Giovinco. And here's why: neither one of those guys has won a championship or has won any hardware for their club. And I think that that's when you really measure the impact of a player. Of course, goals and assists are great, but hey, where's the hardware? You know, that's the question I'm going to ask at the end of this season when I look at both of those players and the impact on their teams.
What made Keane so difficult to defend?
Well, I think that it just comes down to the spaces where those players operate. And Keane, he would operate behind you on a back line and in front of you. And it was really hard to figure out how to stop that because, you know, some players are like super fast. They're just going to try to get behind you. All right, you need to drop your line. Problem solved. Some players are super creative, but they're not fast. Okay, you hold a higher line so you can really squeeze their space. But he could operate in both of those areas, and every time he got touches on the ball, something special happened. So, you know, it was always a communication between myself, my other center back, and Kyle Beckerman, say, hey, like, where is this guy, and how do we make sure he doesn't get the ball? Because we do not want him to get behind us. We don't want him to get in front of us. And it was always a dance. We didn't always get it right, but the games we did get it right, you left the field feeling pretty good about your performance.
He always seemed to me, and I have a different perspective, I'm watching it from above, but watching Robbie Keane, he was one of the few guys that I always noticed his runs, Nat. He always seemed to make the right run, take the right angle, go it the right way. And it helps when a guy like Landon Donovan is able to get you the ball, but it always seemed to me, at least when he was off the ball, his runs were always deadly.
They were, and I think you always have to think about, you know, having a guy like Robbie Keane. He had to have somebody that would complement him in order for him to find more space. He had like a Jossie Zardes. He had a Landon Donovan, a Mike McGee, somebody who, you know, would do the dirty work, you know, for him or would finish off the plays that he started. And I think that's critical when you look at these teams that are doing well. You know, you have Sebastian Giovinco, but you also got Jozy Altidore, you know, two different types of players. But they're able to, you know, work in tandem, you know, to score goals. You know, I look at Fernando Audi, and I look at Diego Valeri. Those two guys work together to score goals all the time. And you have to have that 1-2 punch because every team is going to defend you differently and try to stop you from scoring goals differently.
I want to ask you about your old team, RSL. You're still very close with a lot of guys on the team. But it was a rough start to the season, getting rid of Jeff Kassar, bringing Mike Petke in. Trying to integrate players or players away on under 20 national team. It was a tough start. Last couple of months, though, they've played much better soccer. As you look at Real Salt Lake now, how do you assess this team and this team now moving? I don't know if it may be too late to make the playoffs. They've got a chance. But now and moving forward and toward next year, well, what do you make of where they're at?
Well, here's what I love about MLS, Bill, is you have a team like Real Salt Lake who has struggled early on in the season. A lot of people, pundits, you know, basically wrote them off. And then all of a sudden, I think it was the LA away game. They win, what was it, 6-2 was the score line. Something crazy, but they get this big road win, and it catapults them, you know, onto this streak of, you know, good results. And I think their form has been pretty good as of late. And now they're on the outside looking in, but they're not that far outside. I think there is an opportunity for them to get in. They obviously have to get a ton of points, you know, in these final games to get through. But I think what I like about Salt Lake now that I look at them and I compare them to earlier this year, you know, I really like the dynamic. You know, I feel like they have figured things out in the midfield, especially about how they want to possess, how they want to create chances. They figure out their pressure defensively. I feel like Mike Petke has them on the same page defensively where, hey, you know, we're going to high press and this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it, you know, the right way. And it seems like they've got, you know, those two things figured out, you know, that midfield dynamic, and they've got the defensive pressure figured out. And so you look at this team now and you say, hey, they're not too far off from, the better teams in MLS. And, you know, this is just a result of obviously some coaching and, you know, a little bit more, you know, time getting things right on the field.
Now down to the important question that you and I always have to discuss, the AFC West. The Chiefs opened the season with a nice win on the road against the Patriots. The Broncos probably made it a little too close for you, a little too close for comfort around the Borchers household on Monday night, but they got the win. What do you make of your boys in the West this year? You think they're a playoff team?
Man, Bill, the whole Broncos-Chiefs rivalry, I love it. I love it. Kudos to you guys for getting that win against the Patriots. That was unexpected. I will say that. That was unexpected. And away, you know, at Boston, I mean, congratulations, man. Good start to the season for sure. Like what Alex Smith is doing with you guys. The Broncos, you know, I'm a bit worried this year. I feel like, you know, defensively, you know, we're right there with the best teams in, you know, in the league. But I feel like, you know, we let our foot off the pedal a little bit in this last game. And, you know, it showed. And then, you know, offensively, I think that we're, you know, we still have some work to do. And I think it could be, you know, a long season when it comes to playing some of these better teams in the league. So I'm hopeful, but I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, at some point we'll discuss whether via Twitter or text or back on the telephone the first matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos this year. Hey, travel safely. Give your wife my best and the kids too, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Bill. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Nat. Nat Borchers, my guy, and a former RSL man, now a broadcaster for the Portland Timbers, will be in town doing sidelines tomorrow night for the Timbers and Real Salt Lake at Rio Tinto Stadium.